pierres et l'or. Le platine lui grave d'un cercle froid la marque des esclaves à chaque doigt.
Good morning. You are listening to TV on the Radio here on BFF.fm. That was Dizzy Rascal, Fix Up, Look Sharp. It's all right, ain't it, Jess?
Yes, great. Oh, God. I already hate myself.
Yeah, we're terrible. Good morning. We are talking today about the currently streaming on Netflix show Chewing Gum, which is a British import.
Yep. Watched it with the subtitles on.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I did not understand what those people were saying.
Even those with the people, there you go. Already started.
Already those people, though.
Yeah, it's a British import, created and starring Michaela Cole, who I have been calling Michaela Cohen for like a week now. And yeah, it's based sort of loosely semi-autobiographical about Michaela Cole's life as a devout evangelical Christian who then decided to lose her virginity at 24 and her quest to do so. And it's not really about that, I guess, but
that's just sort of tangential.
Yeah. So what did you think about Chewing Gum?
I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. It was shocking. And it was a really like interesting, it addressed a lot of like very serious topics.
Yeah.
Like it went to places that I didn't expect, but it was all done with this sort of like over the top, like wacky humor. Not wacky is the wrong word, but the protagonist, her sort of relentless upbeatness was an interesting contrast to, you know, some of the shit.
Yeah, some of the world that she's in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked it too. And in thinking about it, more, I think I liked it more. It is all the things you said. It's also like violently gross. Like there is a lot disgusting. That is disgusting about this show, and that was like a real challenge for me.
Yeah.
It's very, very crass, and I'm fine with that. But in thinking about it, it's funny. I read this interview with Michaela Cole in the Guardian, the British newspaper.
Guardian.
Yeah, the Guardian. In the Guardian about, and you know, the headline, of course, it has to be some like pithy comment. And the headline was like, I don't like making people feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And boy, that's true. But then I read all the comments, and a lot of them were, you know,
racist.
Well, lightly, but mostly like, oh, I don't want my TV to make me uncomfortable. Like, no, thank you. I'll sign on for, like, and I read it pretty much before I'd watched any of the show. And I was like, oh, fuck you, bourgeoisie assholes. Like, yes, enjoy your, like, Hyacinth Bouquet show, whatever the fuck you watch.
Hey,
I don't know.
You shut your mouth about Hyacinth Bouquet. I love that show.
But then when I was watching, I was like, oh, God, like, am I a middle-aged white person who's not, I truly wasn't offended, but I was really disgusted by a lot of the content. And so I think that's good. I mean, it's good to have to examine, like, why that is. Like, what is making it uncomfortable? Is it because it's this, you know, it was all, like, there's a lot of vomit. There's a lot of, like, there's...
I think there was one vomit scene.
No, there were multiple spread over many episodes. there's a lot of vomit. There's a whole period scene, which I am all for, like, let's get it out there, you guys. We are telling some truth today. Women have periods. So I'm all for showing the inconvenience and horror show that is your period being depicted on TV.
Yeah, that's what my mind goes to when you talk about how explicit the show is.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, that's like, we don't talk about period stuff on TV, and it's a part of everyone's life, like half the population,
and everyone everyone has the... I was watching a comedy show this week, and the comedian was saying, I have my period, and then she's like, everyone was like, oh, and she was like, don't do that, like, everyone in this room has prayed for a period at some point, like, don't do that.
Yeah, it's a fact of life. Where, so she's a virgin,
yes,
and the scene, like, she only wear... I feel grossed out even talking about this.
Yeah, but
she can't use a tampon.
Yeah.
She's not. And then the scene where, like, her friends are trying to instruct her on how to put a tampon in, I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm watching this.
Yeah, and the scene of her having her period in the bed and showing, like, the bloody bed sheets. And I don't know why I've seen stuff like that. Like, plenty of Game of Thrones had, like, a sea of blood in, like, the bed last week. But yeah, it seems stark. And I think that what this show does really, really well is it just challenges all that shit. Like, it's putting everything out there. Like, you were mentioning that Tracy's sort of relentless optimism in the face of like these truly challenging situations. Like mm-hmm. she lives on a council estate in London, and you know, it's one of those big tower blocks and filled with all kinds of people. And I love that this show portrays that in a very like vivid, colorful way. Yeah. They didn't go to the trope of like, oh, it's like the depressed, mm-hmm. like lots of problems tower block. They show the lots of problems, but like in this sort of vivid community way.
Yeah, it feels fresh to see, you know, quote unquote working class mm-hmm. people depicted in a way that's not like, how are they going to overcome yeah. these struggles? It's just their lives.
It's just their, you know? Yeah, that's, exactly.
And that's true. Like, people just live their lives.
Yeah. And everything in their life is just, you know, there's a whole, like, resilience to it. Like, yeah. everything just, oh, here's more shit. We just take it and then keep mm-hmm. moving. But, yeah, so I think that the show is incredibly, like, I hate using this word, but, like, it's really brave. It shows a lot of stuff that hasn't been shown before and addresses a lot of issues that we don't normally see. Like, we don't see, as you said, these like ostensibly working class but really like lower middle class people, yeah. like where unemployment's rampant and mm-hmm. they're all living you know, paycheck to paycheck or
yeah
government workshare check to workshare check, which they reference a few times. But yeah, it's depicted in this not really bleak way. And then there's all this interesting subtext about like being raised or being heavily Christian and not having that be part of your life anymore. And like right. the split it creates between Tracy and her family. Tracy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Tracy. didn't sound right for a minute. Between Tracy and her family and trying to navigate a relationship. And it's just, it deals with a lot of issues in a way that I haven't seen before. And mm-hmm. I think it was really refreshing. But as I said, when I was watching a lot of it, I was like, oh God, like this is, I don't know. And I
the
think
sex stuff is super uncomfortable too. So
Michaela Cole, who created the show and stars in it, is this beautiful, tall, like limber.
She has a thick bod, and they make jokes about her having saggy boobs at 24.
Yeah, she has an amazing body, and she's this tall, like angular, beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. And the way she uses her physicality is just amazing yeah. on this show. Like, she embodies this character with, like, all these, like, physical, like, neuroses, sort of. Like, when you see her move, it's so awkward. And, like, yeah. when she's initially making out with her boyfriend, like, that looks awkward and terrible.
Oh, well, yeah, the part
and
where she's sucking on his nose.
Yeah, and, like, his eyebrows and yeah. his, yeah. But, just the way she moves yeah. is like the physical embodiment of being a sexually frustrated 24-year-old who has the experience of a 9-year-old.
Right.
Like, and it's really, really an amazing performance, like the way she uses her body. Mm-hmm. And even the character's clothes are all, they're really, really bright, but they're all like, way too young for you.
Yeah, like, she dresses like a
preteen. Yeah, and yeah, it's really...
That said, I was kind of into some of her
Many of yeah. those outfits I would happily wear.
The rainbow striped sweaters over like a floral print
yeah.
collared shirt into it.
Yep, yeah.
You know, great. I love mixed prints.
I do. I know you're a fan of the mixed prints. But yeah, so I think the show was kind of like challenging. You mentioned it was hilarious. I thought the show was really funny and I saw the humor in a lot of stuff. My husband didn't really watch it, but uh-huh. he was on the couch while I was watching it. And he was like, do you even like this show? He's like, I have not heard you laugh one time. See, and I was like, first of all, that is not necessary for me to like a show.
Sure.
I don't need to be uproariously laughing. But yeah, I did not find it like the guffaw out loud type comedy.
I laughed out loud constantly. I'm surprised. I mean, just some of the quips they throw at each other.
Like, well, yeah.
There's the episode where Tracy is struggling with her looks. Like, she thinks she's
ugly, and they tell her,
and someone's like, Germans would love you.
Yeah.
kind of shit.
And also, like, you're beautiful in a, what was it?
Whoopi Goldberg
kind of way. Yeah.
Some of the stuff her mom said, her mom was like a minister.
Yeah, that minister. Was.
And she.
She was like, we pray for the homosexuals and the media marketing managers. Yeah. Like, just random.
Graphic designers.
Yeah. Just like weird non sequiturs like that. But yeah, it's really, really different. It is so refreshing. I feel like we've said this so many times, but it's so refreshing to watch something that is not another fucking reiteration of, I don't know, some stupid comedy. Like, let's put Tim Allen in another show, you guys. Let's have Kevin James be a bumbling dad again. Like, it's nice to truly see something that is dealing with something that we don't see every day and that's different. And for me, I feel like Britain has done that so much more lately than America. Like, so many of the shows I like, Catastrophe, Chewing Gum, Detectorists, which we loved.
Right.
I feel like Happy Valley, I feel like these are all, like, doing something different, either within a genre that we're familiar with or kind of changing that genre. Why do you think British people are doing that? Are they legit? Like, maybe they should Brexit. Maybe they should just be by themselves. Giving people a chance, you guys.
You think that, like, Czech Republic has been holding them down?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe the really EU funding shine. For the arts has actually been suppressing even more amazing voices that could come out of Britain.
I don't know. What stands out about this show for me is it is, like, fresh and non-formulaic.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, to see, like we've already said, to see a show that's about, like, lower middle class people, but doesn't, like, pathologize.
Yeah, stuff. That's not what the show's about, like, the struggle. It's just about their lives.
And, you know, it talked a lot about, you know, race and sexuality, mm-hmm. but it was in no way, like, you know, good for you television.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it was bad, but I don't know, just, like, she has a friend from the estate, Ola, who for me was the star of the show. He was hilarious. And there's, you know, one scene where they go on this ill-fated road trip and he meets these guys on a train, a gay couple, and, like, just sort of runs off with them for the weekend instead of his friends. And there's just this tossed off scene where he's talking to this guy about how, like, when someone finds out you're a gay black man, they're always like, they want to hear your coming out story, mm-hmm. or, like, if you are meeting women, they're always are like, oh, girl. And mm-hmm. he's like, I'm still a man, you know?
Yeah.
But he isn't a very effeminate mm-hmm. gay man, but he's, and that's just sort of thrown in there. And then, like,
yeah,
not glossed over, but
yeah, there was a lot of that was ultimately one of kind of the complaints that I had with the show, is I felt like it dealt with these really interesting ideas, but then didn't delve really far into them. Mm-hmm. And as I was thinking about that, I was like, well, this is her fucking show. Like, do whatever the fuck you want with it. Who am I to say, like, I want to see more of that? Well, maybe she doesn't want to tell that. But I felt like that was interesting. There was the one episode where she's with Ash, the white guy, and mm-hmm. his, like, fetishization of black women, and how he asks her where she's from and she says London, and he's like, no, but where are you from? And then he, like, and he has her, like, dress up in tribal wear and stuff, and that was all I was like, I want to delve more into this. But then, like, who am I to say how she should run her show? Like, and as you mentioned, it's kind of the beauty of the show is that, like, these issues that are deeper, it's not like everyone's sitting down and, like, analyzing it and talking about it. Like, I don't know, I feel like that's what other shows that I love, like Casual, have led me to believe happens, but that's not what happens if you're in London.
Right. I read a not very interesting interview with her in Rolling Stone, but she, you know, talked about the creation of the show, and she actually said that she didn't really see a space for her story mm-hmm. in British television, and didn't see, like, the stories about black women and dating and sex. And I think she'll show something like, you know, going out with a guy who has a fetish for black women. And then our reaction is like, well, let's hear more about that. And for her, that's just, like, a part of Tuesday.
Yeah, and then she just moves on. Yeah, exactly. So we actually just got a tweet from Melissa who said that she can't get the online streaming to work. So yeah, we'll just keep recording as if people are listening and can hear the show. And yeah, let's go to a song. Why don't we get our technical expert in here while we go to a song and see if there's anything that we're doing or if it's just our provider that's down again.
I'm excited about your grime playlist, so
so it's not a solely grime playlist, but I am gonna play.
You were like really into grime during 2002 2003, right?
So my
braids
and also my physical this is a true story, my physical camera, which is somewhere in my house now. You know, when people had to bring a camera to things? It's filled with 8,000 pictures of Mike Skinner from the streets. Or from the streets. The streets. Sorry, I was doing it in my grime accent. That I took at Treasure Island. And, you know, Mike Skinner was kind of, I don't know, the beginning of the genre. So let's go to something from my grime playlist that is not actually a grime song, but awesome nonetheless. We're gonna throw it back. We're doing Creep by TLC. Stay tuned to TV on the Radio. We will be back right after this.
Me again. Yeah.
All right. Welcome back to TV on the Radio here on BFF.FM. We have had some listener issues resolved. So very, very successful song break there. We are talking about the currently streaming on Netflix, but originally Channel 4 British show Chewing Gum. This is also one of those shows that we love because it's 2 seasons, 6 episodes each, 30 minutes. So Perfect. It's right up my alley. So let's talk a little. So we talked sort of about, you know, how there are these bigger issues that are addressed and then kind of moved on from. Let's talk a little bit about Connor, Tracy's love interest. Mm-hmm. Thoughts?
He was uninspiring, but I think that was sort of the point. Like, she, yeah, you know, as someone who has never really had a, well, she had a boyfriend, but he was a closeted, abusive gay man. Mm-hmm. I think, like, you know, her sexual desire was just sort of all over the place, mm-hmm, because she needed to get laid.
Yeah.
So I think maybe he was supposed to be just sort of a schlub.
Yeah, and I think it's sort of, he's cute, don't get me wrong, but exactly. Connor's a, you know, housing estate poet. So not a lot of
what
upward mobility going on there.
He's a waste
there.
Man.
He's, yeah, all the friends say he's a waste man. He's, yeah, going nowhere. And I think it's interesting, in season one, he expresses that he's interested in her, and then you see her sort of transfer this affection that she had for Ronald to Connor, just mainly because, yeah, she wants to get laid. And she doesn't, spoiler. But it's interesting because in season one, I was like, God, like, this guy just really, he's like kind of a blank slate and there's really, yeah, nothing going on. And so you don't even understand why she's attracted to him. And I think that that was really, really interesting because, again, I think that that is her sort of like controlling the narrative. Like, a lot of the, sorry, I just said that, but God damn, my fucking wolf blitzer. I think it's intentional in a way. Yeah. I think it's that, you know, when you are younger, sort of your criteria for people who you like has to be that they like you first. And yeah, he established
or
that.
When you're older.
Yeah, or when you're older, sure. And he sort of established that and then was, yeah, this like blank slate that, yeah, she could project everything onto. But I didn't get at all like why she was interested in him. And then in season two, he became sort of more of like a fully realized character. Like, the, mm-hmm, first episode is actually really sweet. They have this talk about woman, they've broken up at this stage, and he wanted to talk to her. And it's kind of the first time where you see him as like a person with his own agency, right, and somebody who, I don't know, is capable of having a conversation and is kind of sweet. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm kind of seeing glimmers of it. But I think, again, like, that's really interesting because it sort of subverts our normal, like, desire for, like, a will-they-won't-they subvert-the-norm,
yeah,
relationship. You know, it's like you're not really rooting for them because you're like, fuck this guy.
Who,
like,
cares?
Fuck this waste man. And
poetry's also really bad.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, and I just think that was another thing that was really done well and interesting about the show.
Yeah.
And Ronald, her abusive ex, gay, is a monster, remains,
yeah,
a monster throughout, even after he comes out as gay,
right,
is still a monster, is abusive to his poor new boyfriend Cleveland. And
that was another thing that was sort of like, it was heavy, like the way Ronald was abusive to her. He would complain about her appearance,
mm-hmm,
and it was always like, he's a black man, but like the things he would say, like he would talk about how gigantic her lips,
mm-hmm,
are and gross.
Yeah.
And so it, you know, and they don't like make a big deal out of it, like they don't call him out as a racist character, but then like she hates her appearance, and like there's a lot in the show about how she thinks she's ugly. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's just,
yeah,
one of those things.
Well, another thing that I thought was
very articulate
funny was, no, there was, funny, another thing that I thought was great about the way they address things like that is, again, that was like, she has one moment where she blows up at Ronald, mm-hmm. and she's like, and you, like, you abused me. It wasn't like really bad abuse. It wasn't like terrible, right. but it was still abuse. Yeah. And like, who the fuck are you to, you know, and then yeah. finds out he's engaged to her sister, mm-hmm. Cynthia. But yeah, but I just, yeah, I guess that's sort of the main thing, is that the show is just really different. Like, there's no sort of expectations that you can latch onto. Like, yeah. it's not like, oh, well, here we have the will they won't they relationship. Yeah. Like, it's not really that. Like, there's no investment. It's really refreshing that it's just this story about her story. Mm-hmm. And amen to that.
Yeah.
Let's get fucking all kinds of different women telling their stories. Let's do it.
Yeah. And it's fleshed out by a bunch of side characters. A lot of women.
Yeah.
Who are, you know, at first they seem just like over the top cartoonish characters from this estate.
Candice.
But yeah, then like a lot of them are funny and sweet and have their own like short little B and C plots. And
yeah, just like life, you guys. Just like life. Yeah. Yeah, no, I did. I definitely think it's interesting. And as I said, Michaela Cole is a star. Like, yeah. that woman is amazing. She also, the show breaks the fourth wall and she talks directly to the mm-hmm. camera, which I generally find super annoying. And I didn't find it annoying at all when she did it. So that is just a testament to the million-dollar, like, wattage of her star.
Even
I don't know.
Convention is sort of like, I'm not gonna be able to explain it, but they do it in an interesting way. It's like woven in with the action of the show in a interesting way. And like, sometimes, like, I think once she turned to the camera and said something like, I don't actually know what to say right now.
It's yeah.
sort of like making fun of that convention and the way it's done.
Yeah. And there's also, it's not used in an expository way. Yeah. Like, it's not sort of indicating that she has this like rich in her life. It's just like
that's exactly it. Like, yeah, she uses it to explain her thoughts, and then sometimes we go along on her train of thought and it's like she's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And
like,
yeah,
she was watching porn and then she's like turned off by it because it's so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And then she's explaining to the camera why she can't get off on this pornography about like a little girl in a school uniform talking to some man in a car.
Yeah.
And she's like, why would she be standing on a street corner? That doesn't make any sense. And don't these people get like annoyed that cameras are in their faces? Yeah. And she's like, my mind is woke, see? Yeah. It's very funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I guess when I was watching it, I was so like, I don't know if this is for me. And now after talking about it more, I'm like, I think it's really like doing something totally different and interesting, and is 100% worth a watch. You will be grossed out, though.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. We have a tweet from listener Steven who says, in life, no one's story is a B or C plot. Hashtag one to grow on. Thank you, Steven.
Yeah, thanks. True. Can I also
Steven,
just...
By the way, you are the B plot to my story.
Can I also just say this? Sure. Stormzy, Grime star Stormzy, mm-hmm. makes an appearance. Mm-hmm. And hi, Stormzy. I was unaware. But I see a lot more Grime in my future, for sure. Stormzy is dreamy, you guys.
Very
super,
handsome.
Super dreamy.
I told him that you have cancer, so he's going to give you some flowers.
Excellent. So with the men in the plot, it's also, you know, it's kind of interesting that, again, this is Michaela Cole's story, so she can do whatever the fuck she wants. But it is very, like, woman-centric. As mm-hmm. we mentioned, like, Connor is, like, sort of this blank slate guy that she projects herself onto. And Ronald's just an abusive asshole mm-hmm. and dismissed as such. And then her best friend Candice, her boyfriend Aaron, is, like, this really hunky, vain, mm-hmm. dumb, so dumb guy. And it's like, as I was watching that, I was like, oh, Candice has it all figured out. Like, Candice knows where it's at. Like, that's what you need. You need a really, really, like, devoted, dumb, hot guy.
Yeah. I think Candies wanted something more complex, but wanted to be the beautiful girl with the beautiful boyfriend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And also, she's not more complex, really.
Well, just, well, I mean, like, they say that in the boyfriend who was more interesting or edgy, I guess.
Yeah, I think edgy. But then, you know, when you get that edgy boyfriend, you're always like, oh, God, so much work. Who wants to deal with that? I'd rather have the, like, Labrador who's devoted to me and, like, will do whatever I want. And then just, you know.
He was a good sport.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. I want somebody that will just go along and look good doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Candice has it all figured out. But it was interesting that it's this very, like, woman-centric show, and then the, you know, the males in it are all relegated to kind of a very specific type, mm-hmm. you know, like, waste man.
Yeah.
Like, dumb guy. Like, Ash the white
fetishist
yeah. guy. And then let's talk about Cousin Tracy.
Oh, God, Boy Tracy.
Boy Tracy.
That, I mean, talk about stuff that makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, this show's unconventional. Her, like, best friend, not best friend, but she's very close with her cousin, Boy Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
He comes to visit, and turns out he wants to fuck her.
He's in love with her, yeah.
Cousins.
He's in love, Jess. He's in love with her.
He's in love with her. And, yeah, they just sort of, like, it's not serious, but, you know. Hilarity ensues.
Yeah, and there's also the part where she realizes nobody's interested in her, so she's trying to get cousin boy yeah. Tracy interested in her again. And
yeah,
I feel like that's all very, very relatable. Like,
yeah, it's just super raw. It's like they make this plot about your cousin wanting to fuck you into something relatable, where it's like you don't want anything to do with this person, but you like that they're attracted to you.
Yeah, you know? Want, like, to be liked. And yeah. that's the same episode where she's at a sex club and has an epiphany that she hasn't been approached, and then she looks over and sees the rule on the wall that, like, men can't approach women.
Yeah.
And so then she decides, like, hey, and she's like, hey, you, your mother's a whore, do you want to fuck? And, like, do yes. you want to have sex with me? You're ugly. And, like, then she's just, like, turning it on all these men and abusing them, and they're all like, yeah, yeah, sounds good. So, yeah, it's just, it's really interesting, you guys.
Yeah.
I say check it out. And as I said, 2 seasons, 6 episodes each. Season 3 is coming back.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, to cycle around to Cousin Tracy, Boy Tracy again, he says at one point, she said, you can't have sex with your cousin. And he says that's actually legal in Britain. So if any of the BFF TV on the Radio Council would like to weigh in on whether or not that's legal in Britain, I would be interested in knowing that. I don't have any cousins, you guys, but I'm just saying.
I laughed so hard at the... there's an episode where she joins a book club and, like, gets a reading buddy, and she sleeps with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then she finds out that he's actually still in high school. And so she goes to, like, turn the police that walk around the estate. Like, when she sees him, she puts her hands in the air and drops to the ground, like, even though they're not looking at her. And yeah, so she turns herself into the police and finds out it's not illegal to fuck a 16-year-old.
Yeah, her, like, really, her physicality in that show is truly just amazing.
Yeah.
It's like a real feat to see. They're in the, I think it's the second episode where Candice gives her a makeover because she decides she's going to seduce Ron. And she is wearing this, she's wearing something batshit, but, like, she's got this insane wig and this, like, crazy makeup and these weird contacts yeah. on. And she looks at herself, and, like, the face she makes in the mirror mm-hmm. is truly just, like, I do not know how people can, like, contort their face and their body that way. And it's, yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah.
But then she's like, I look like Beyonce. And she does not look like Beyonce. Yeah, there's just so much about it that is, you know, as Steven said, one to grow on. You know,
yeah.
I feel like there's also the episode where after her mom has kicked her out of the house in season 1 for not being a devout Christian anymore, she ends up she's living back with her mom again. Her mom calls her while she's at the sex club. And,
oh, yeah.
And she's like, I'm being good, mommy. I'll be home soon. And her mom's like, I know you're lying. But, you know, I've always told you, just be like me and you'll go to heaven. And now I realize, don't be like me. And it's not done in, again, it's the same, like, not a heavy-handed, like,
yeah,
like none of this, there's no like big blow up, like, wait, you kicked me out of the house for 3 fucking months and now you're like, oh, everything's cool, like, yeah, just, you know, like these deeply held beliefs that I have, like, it's all fine, yeah, like, just don't be like me, you know. And and there's no big exploration about like what the mom's dealing with or like, you know,
right,
how the mom is, like, anything like that. It just really is like dropping you into these people's lives and sort of showing you what their lives are, yeah, about. And she's a very, very, like, outsized, over-exaggerated character, but it's different than anything else on, yeah, TV at the moment.
It also, like, there's a reveal toward the end of season 2. Their house gets robbed, like, of all the stuff. And then in the next, I think at the beginning of the next episode, they're looking around and this guy is there with the family and saying, like, I'm sorry, I don't have any money, I can't help you out. And then he leaves and she's like, oh yeah, that's my dad, he's fine.
Yeah.
There's just this reveal, like, dad has not been part of the,
yeah,
the show at all. And like, you sort of like, I think they use this expectation that if her dad is ever introduced as a character, we're gonna like learn something about her, like her dad leaving the family. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, just he lives in a different state.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It really, I hate myself. It upends convention and, you know, it subverts convention in a way, like, that uses, it still uses those conventions and then like specifically rejecting them is.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's pretty, part of the plot. Yeah. It's pretty genius. And so to all those Guardian commenters who are like, no, thank you, I do not want my, I want my TV to make me comfortable. I'm like, maybe step outside your little box and
it's also
check
like
out something
still pretty
else.
Comfortable sitting on your couch watching.
Yeah.
Exactly. You'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. To all you people, just step outside. Maybe challenge some of your
yeah, exactly.
Perceptions.
I'm not comfortable watching this show, so I'm going to go on my computer and comment on the Guardian.
Yeah. Yeah, god damn, people are the worst. Okay, should we go to another song? Yeah. And then when we can come back, we can, I don't know, talk about something else.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see what I'm going to pull up on my grind playlist. So we talked earlier about Stormzy, who is,
ooh,
delicious. So let's...
heavens.
Let's do this. So this is... Shut Up, It's Explicit by Stormzy. And we'll be back after this. Stay tuned to BFF.fm. Best frequencies forever.
State your name, cuz.
Stormzy, innit?
And what are we doing today?
Rapping, innit?
Yeah?
Fucking rapping, innit?
Yeah? Fire in the pot. Let's go.
Look. Man, try to say he's better than me. Tell my man, shut up. Mention my name in your tweets. I rude boy, shut up.
Shut up.
Better than me? Shut up.
Shut up.
Best in the scene. Tell my man, yo, couple man call me a backup dancer. On stage at the Brits, I'm a backup dancer. If that makes me a backup dancer, the man in your vids, the man in your pics, man wanna chat about backup dancer. Big man like me with a beard, I'm a big man, how the fuck can I? Army comes everywhere I go, I can't run with my enemy show. Walk in the club with all of my chugs, party's done, everybody go home. Apart from the girl, them you lot stay. Walk in the club with a girl, say hey. Tell a man like I'm K to the A. There's no champagne, we don't rave. Yeah, I'm the best, I'm so cocky. I got a mob like ASAP Rocky. I set trends, dumb man copy. They catch feelings, I catch bodies. They roll deep, I roll squaddy. Got about 25 dudes in my posse. They drink Baileys, I drink Vossi. I get murky, they get worried. If you got a GAT, bring it out. Most of the real bad boys ever south. If you wanna do me, something I'm about. I'm not a gangster, I'm just about. But you see my man over there with a pouch. There one of you man try to get loud. All of my man, them move so foul. I might sing, but I ain't so down. Nowadays, all of my show sold out. Headline tour, yeah, blood sold out. When we roll in, they roll out. I'm so London, I'm so South. Food on the ends like there ain't no drought. Fips don't talk like he's got no mouth. I wanna make my mum so proud. Like, yo, mum, book a flight, go now. All of my ex-girls talking me hard. Talk to my face and talk to my palm. Had full bills and I bought me a car. Little red whip that I bought for my march. I straight nervous and walk in the park. I take care when I water my plants. These MCs wanna talk about Lord of the Mics.
You ain't even Lord of the Yard.
Dead MCs, blood, leave me alone. Me and your girl will speak on the phone. Kill a whole crew of MCs on my own. Kill a whole crew of MCs for the throne. I was out hungry. So I'm hungry, man, try eat, then leave me the bones. Now these niggas, they need me to grow. Hot chocolate and a panini to go. I'm a big man, fuck a postcode war. Man, I'm upset by the mobile awards. Yeah, I was guest at the mobile awards.
Why?
Cause I ain't won a mobile before. Duh, all of you MCs sound so bitter. Shut down Wireless, shut down Twitter. Shout out DP, shout out Flipper. Best my age, yeah, blood. Look, if you don't rate me, shame on you. If you don't rate me, shame on you. Can I order a deathbed for an MC? He wants beef, let me make that too. Anyone else wanna make that move? Anyone else wanna pay their dues? Imposters wanna take my tune. Stiff chocolate, yeah, my face so smooth. Check it, don't even talk too much for a talker. The man still got halves and a quarter. Saw me turn from a prince to a pauper. Two cigarettes and a bottle of water. Tell the bouncer I get the bottles in order. Man in the kitchen putting in orders. Stiff chocolate, skin clear like water. Smoothing this thing, start locking up doors. Yeah? So shut your fucking stupid mouths. Chatting bare fucking shit. Shut the fuck up. Shut your fucking mouth. Aye, Rubai, shut up. One time, yeah? Chatting bare fucking shit. Shut up, man. Pussies, what?
All right. We're back.
Speaking that, my language.
Yeah, that was Stormzy. with my personal mantra for 2017. Shut up. Not my mantra. My, like, catch, I don't know. Right? Should be, I don't know. I feel like that's what I'm trying to exude.
Yeah. Well, you did get it tattooed across your breastplate.
Yeah, and yeah. My forehead. But, yeah. So, yeah. Can I say yeah any more times? so that we just talked about chewing gum, which we both enjoyed and challenges convention, as we said.
Yeah.
I feel like this is so, like, we are the anti chewing gum reviewers too, because it's like, oh, two, like, I don't know, middle class white ladies in San Francisco talking about the London housing estate and how.
I'm going to go home and write down a list of ways to say challenges convention in different words and try to come back.
I think we did a few of them today. We subverted the norm. And
or for next week, we could just watch Two and a Half Men and talk about that.
Sure,
and
yeah. We can
talk about conventions.
And we won't have to apologize for anything because that is made for us. So, you know, we don't watch it, but it's made for us. So in that same vein, what else are you watching at the moment, Jess?
We briefly discussed maybe talking about Cardinal on this show on Hulu. And
at my recommendation.
I'm sure you
I'll own it.
I had reason to believe it would be good. I love crime dramas. Some of my favorite shows have been crime dramas. And wow, I hated this show so much. I only watched 2 episodes out of, I think, 6 or 8. It's an hour long.
I watched the first 15 minutes of the first episode, so I feel I'm highly qualified to talk about the flaws.
I could not believe how many cliches they packed into every moment of that show. It's like they watched The Killing and were like, let's make a really shitty version of that.
It's funny. I first heard about Cardinal last year, and I think I read a review, or it was on some critic's best of list, and they were all talking about how it's this, like, Canadian, like, CBBC show, and Billy Campbell's in it, and he's amazing, and it's, you know, it's a crime drama that's really different, and did not appear to be very different at all.
I actually think they did, like, watch The Killing and try to make a bad version of it, which is weird that Billy Campbell's in it, because he was in The Killing.
He was a bad guy in The Killing, yeah.
Or at least a shady motherfucker. It's like a violent crime that was never solved or something. A cop who's, like, you know...
An alcoholic.
An alcoholic, tired cop who's, like, been out of the homicide game,
who made one terrible mistake. Yeah.
And now he's all sad. He's got, like, a fresh new bright-eyed partner from a different department who's never worked homicide before, and it's like,
but
oh,
she may be shady, we don't know.
It's like, oh, I bet we're gonna find out that this cop is actually brilliant, even though he has unconventional ways. And, like,
well, yeah, and it was
the
also the whole,
yep.
his theory all along about the first case that was never solved was correct.
Yeah.
You know,
he's
and
just going to be proven right.
And now his crackpot theory about this case is going to be proven right because he just has an instinct about killers. And it's all this with fucking, I'm sorry, but unlistenable Canadian accents. Like, I love Canada, our neighbor to the north. I love Justin Trudeau, and that's all right-thinking people do. Yeah. But, I mean, no.
It was just so fucking awful. I was shocked, like, several times every episode that, like, they did such cliche bullshit and thought that they were amazing. And after two episodes, I was like, I kind of want to hate watch the rest of this
series. I
want
to finish it and know what happens.
It's so bad that it was almost like satisfying to watch.
Yeah, it did seem really cliche.
Who has the time?
Speaking of things that are terrible, uh-huh. I watched the first episode. I think I watched the first two episodes of Friends from College, the widely hated, terribly reviewed show, Netflix original, starring a pretty well-known cast. Fred Savage in a spot on John Lovett. And,
that's what
imitation.
I've heard. I'm definitely going to watch this show.
Yeah, so I watched the first few episodes and I was like, rich entitled people being terrible, like, this is every show I watch. I don't see what the problem is.
Well, the Hollywood Reporter gave it kind of a backhanded bad review. Like, he said it's about terrible people and it's sort of joyless, but he found something compelling about it. Like,
but Fred Savage, you guys know. I don't know, but I'll probably watch that at some point. And then Game of Thrones is back.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight, Ballers has its triumphant return for season 3, which...
I have a question.
Yes.
I haven't watched Ballers. Should I just jump in on season 3?
Yes, just jump in.
It's that
in
kind
on
of
season
show,
three.
Right? It doesn't matter.
Just jump in 10 minutes into the last episode. Jump in 5 minutes into the first episode.
Okay.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. I will say you should watch the very first episode for the initial shot of The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. I don't know. Johnson for President 2020. Whatever. I don't care. But the shot of him lying in bed under these, like, crisp white sheets, and he is like a, like, you just get such a like, visceral sense of, like, the scope of that man's size, and it is both troubling and a little arousing.
Speaking of troubling, so I, as you do and all right thinking people do, follow The Rock on Instagram.
Sure.
Naturally, he posts a lot of what the people want, which is him shirtless or in a skimpy tank top working out. He posted a couple weeks ago a picture of his legs on leg day, and they are terrifying.
Yeah, it's, like, horrible.
He's, you know, insanely buff. He's a giant. But in a way that I find beautiful. But his legs are fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'd be able to handle that.
No, his thighs are like the size of your entire body.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really intimidating.
Menacing.
It is menacing. But, you know, he's a lovable giant. So he's the best. Ballers is back, as is Insecure.
I'm going to get on that show so we can talk about it.
So have you watched any of season 1?
I watched the first episode.
I watched the first, I feel like, I don't know, let's say there's 8 episodes. I feel like I watched 6 of them, really enjoyed them, and never finished the last 2 for some reason.
It happens more and more. I feel like our attention
Issa Rae
is just
amazing,
scattered for television.
And people are super excited about season 2. The Hollywood Reporter said that it's like, what are... Friend of the show, Tim Goodman, said that it's way better than season 1. And I wholeheartedly enjoyed season 1. Alyssa, friend of the show Alyssa, said that she has never related to a show more than she related to Insecure. And I think that is totally true and valid. And it's a great show.
Was there an episode where the main character was using Internet Explorer? Is that what I mean?
No, not that I'm aware of. But... there are a lot of work struggles in that show, so okay. I can see why it speaks to everyone. It's a great show. That comes back tonight, too. And I'm all in for Game of Thrones season 7.
Is this the last season?
This is the last season, but they're doing that bullshit of
gonna get washed away in
6
tears.
Episodes this year and 6 episodes next
HBO.
Year.
HBO!
Which, fuck all you people. Like, don't you know we live in a, like, bingeable society now? Like, I don't want to have to wait for anything, but whatever.
That's nonsense.
Last week's Game of Thrones broke the HBO Go platform. It had the highest viewership of any premiere of any show ever. Huh. Like, something like, I don't know, 34 million? I feel like that sounds low, maybe. I don't know. But a lot of people watched Game of Thrones last week. HBO, I am here for the dragons.
Can't be prepared for this sort of thing. This happened with fucking True Detective, too.
Do you want to get into net neutrality, Jess? Is that what we're going to talk about? Should HBO have to pay more so people can stream their show? I mean, there's only so much preparation you can do, I guess, if people are going to be checking your platform.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
I mean, what are we going to do?
I don't know. Whatever you do to, like, not get it broken. Pay more money for more. Okay, I don't want to talk about the internet. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just going to sound stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. I still watch HBO on TV like a troglodyte. We have a subscription to HBO, guys.
Oh, I'm very aware.
That's how I know. We don't share our HBO Go password with anyone. I saw some article about how, like, that's ruining everything for everyone. And I was like, yeah, whatever. HBO can stand it. Is there anything else that you are currently excited about? I'm going to go to my list of shows because I feel like there's so much stuff that is always on my radar that I have to watch and I never do.
Yeah. I watched an episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show last night and tried to convince Steven that it was revolutionary for its era.
Have you started Rectify yet?
I watched the first episode, yeah.
Do you think you'll go back or is it too much of a slow burn?
I would watch it. I don't know. It's like, whatever you want to do, I'll do it.
Well, I feel like Rectify is daunting. I've heard nothing but great things about it, but it's like, whatever, 3 seasons, and yeah. It was on Sundance, and it's heavy, and everyone is like, it's such a slow burn, and I'm like, eh, I don't have time in my life for that.
I know, right?
I really don't. Like, I need something.
I'm just overwhelmed by this conversation. We've mentioned, like, 5 TV shows.
I need something. I need something immediate. All of them. You watched the first episode of the new sitcom, I'm Sorry.
Oh, yeah. It's mildly funny, but
it's got Jason Mantzoukas. Yeah.
He's
100% going to watch that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't get True TV, so I've been watching it on the True TV app, which is not a super fun viewing experience, but works all right.
And I've heard great things about The Defiant Ones, if anyone out there has seen that HBO 4-part docuseries.
Oh, it's 4 parts?
Yes.
God, who has the time?
4 hours. I watched, like, I don't know. I work, 40 hours a week? I watch at least 80 hours of TV a week. I mean, I'm, like, looking at that, and I'm like, oh, 4 hours. Oh, can't commit. But, yeah, I've seen every episode of Ballers, you guys. Yeah. Come on. And Ballers is delightful in a chewing gum way. Like, right. It's done the second it's done. But please tune in tonight at 10 p.m. on HBO. Ballers makes its triumphant return, and followed by Insecure. So I'm all in for that. We're not here next week, but we'll be back the week after that with more great BFF TV on the radio content.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in, you guys. I'm going to play you out with another song from my grime playlist. About to blow your mind here. Should we do Sock It To Me, Missy Elliott featuring The Brat, or should we do Yo Babes by Shaka?
I'll leave it up to you.
Okay, let's do Yo Babes by Shaka. Thanks so much for staying for listening in. Please stay tuned to BFF.fm, Best Frequencies Forever.
Oh, you know what I mean. Mean what you say and say what you mean. Oh, you know what I mean.
I'm just a simple human being.
I hate eyes with eyeliner. I hate fives covered in designer. I hate heels away from the floor. I hate nails when I know they ain't yours. I hate hugs when you wear makeup. You look way better when you wake up. I hate lips when they start showing off. Never cared about the names you drop. I love it when you wear my grey hoodie. Oh, when your belly flop like Free Willy. Love it when you're so silly. Baby, you ain't gotta prove nothing to me.
You had me at your babies. You had me at your babies. You got me with what's your name. You got me with what's your name. You had me at your babies. You had me at your babies. You got me with what's your name. You got me with what's your name. You had me at your.
I hate tiny little white lies that you say cause you think I might like. I hate photos shopping for the grime. Your ass ain't never been bigger than my hand. I hate when you say you ain't hungry.
then your belly says that you're hungry. I hate when you're showing off new memes. You've only known them about 2 days. I love it when you make me watch free, knowing that we don't know.